Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut. And every Monday, you will be joining me, Eric Feng, and SG Budget Babe Dawn on our weekly segment, Wise and Shine, where we leverage on the latest quirky happenings out there on the internet to answer many of your burning social and personal development questions. Yes, we're all sick and tired of talking about money, so welcome back to Wise and Shine.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Right, it's no longer the big fish that eat the small fish. It's the fast fish that eats the slow fish.
Inherently, it gets increasingly difficult as you age to change your skills.
No, that's bullshit. No, there's this thing called plasticity.
You never feel like as you grow older, you learn things slower.
No, I'm in the learning world. I see this every single day.
Welcome back to another episode of Wise and Shine. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut.
Hi, this is Eric, Mr. Positivity.
And this is Don, SG Budget Babe.
I'm Adele.
Can you not?
Hello.
It's me.
Insert.
My name is Zad and I'm the head of content for Rise Media.
Yeah, important.
The best storytellers in Singapore. Mm.
He say one, right? Which I don't disagree. But
thank you.
I don't disagree. But yeah, that doesn't mean I agree. I can accept the view, right?
It
can
you agree.
Okay. Anyway. So today we have a very important topic that we want to talk about. Very crucial. I think a lot of people are very concerned about this thing, right? And the question for the day is, should you be afraid that AI will steal your job? Mm. Right? I think the genesis of today's episode is simple because of ChatGPT, right? My team has wrote some stuff that we have created some scripts around this and I was like, this thing can work, right? And then Dawn was like, yeah, we should talk about this. Actually, 1 month ago, she already asked me to talk about it already. So today, and I think Zan has some very interesting experiences. So because of all these new technology coming in, what we used to conceive that, you know, technology will only take over hard labor, now is entering what we call the white collar job, right? So that is the hot topic in town. So should you be afraid that AI will steal your job? Wow, beautiful voice. Closing. Oh, yes.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
Yes. What's my thoughts? I start. Yeah.
Anybody want to start? Right?
I think don't need to worry. If you worry, then there is something wrong with your job. That means you don't understand the value of your job. If you worry that ChatGPT will take away your job, right? Then you have to ask yourself, what is your job? What is the value of what you're doing? Right, and is it valuable enough to people? Are you replaceable? You should be able to, and I know this comes from a place of privilege, but you should be able to market yourself in a way, right, that makes your talents and your skills, right, very irreplaceable. So this is a very good topic for me because I personally believe that ChatGPT is the way to go.
The
way to go in content creation in Singapore today, or in anywhere for that matter.
Yeah.
Recently it has taken TikTok by storm. Just only recently, even though it was published like a month ago, right? It started a month ago, but only like 2 weeks ago it started to like get the attention of TikTok. So now people are saying this is a business idea, okay? Write a children's book using ChatGPT. Why not? It's the easiest thing. And you can write anything that you want. You can talk about emotions. You can talk about alternative family structures. And just write a book.
Yeah.
And then publish it as an ebook. And then they're done. Yeah. But today, right, as of today, which is 11th of Jan, ChatGPT is overloaded. Yeah. Then it is a loss-making enterprise, somebody has to pay for the servers, right?
Yeah.
But then on Rise Media, when it first came out, right, I think the day of, I already said, you know what, let's do a story on this. You know, and the story is very meta, is ChatGPT, is AI going to replace writers? That's the story that I asked ChatGPT to write. Yeah, and he wrote it. And then I included interviews quotations, tone. And people ask me, like, how do you write? How do you make them write in your tone? Because there's just one sentence, right? That I feel like it's very Rice Media, the tone, which is, Jane was not alone in this fear. That is the sentence. It is a very complex sentence. Because first, you must say, you must know that there will be someone else sharing the fear. You must understand alone is not, you must understand the concept of what alone means. Because you're not alone by yourself with a person. You are alone in your emotion. And that is very complex to understand. And then you must know that you have to revisit the emotion later. But you must also give a hint of it earlier on. That is so difficult. And then the people in my comment section for LinkedIn, they say like, I don't think that that's a very complex sentence. Sure.
That's because they don't have the intelligence to realize that.
Yeah. And it makes the work of a writer, it actually makes the writer more valuable. So the writer now has, the writer will fulfill the function of a writer instead of a churner. A writer is not a churner. So that means you get a press release, right? About, maybe you get a press release from Marigold for milk, right? So now if you're a lifestyle site, you can actually just take that whole press release, feed it into ChatGPT and say, write a 500-word story in the style of CNA Luxury about the launch of this milk. Right, then you come out, right? Then you ask, come up with 5 titles. Then you say, come up with a title. The titles are too long, shorten it. Then done. From conception to publish, right?
So the writer is the director, and correct, the writer is the one that creates.
Correct.
And then the guy is churn.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. And you must be.
You mean the AI just churn.
AI is the tool, right? Yeah. It's just like Google, like when Google search came on, right? Of course people are worried, like, oh my god, will encyclopedias go out of fashion?
That's where I went.
Yeah.
And it did.
Huh? And it did. But then that's because I think that was the tipping point for that technology, you know, that someone needs to change that technology, and that has been changed. But the concept of the concept of information being in one place and accessible to all, right, is such a powerful thing. So I think writers who worry about ChatGPT and say, oh, it will never replace the human touch, it will never replace me going out to the ground. Yeah, but are you going out to the ground? To begin with,
or even a lot of the war zone writers, they don't even enter the war zone.
Yeah. Or are you just sitting behind your?
They get press release.
Yeah, sitting behind your table, right, doing armchair stories. Mm-hmm. Like you glamorize this whole, like, I'm a writer, I'm a reporter. Okay, I mean, if you should be doing that, but if you have to reiterate the point and say, like, oh no, but you know, it will not, it will never replace me going down, getting cold. It's like, sure, your cold's good, man.
But Zah, I thought you also glamorized this thing. I mean, it's like, but you also glamour that you journalist.
Yeah, but then there's always an objective, right? Yes. Like, so the objective, I think, is what is important. Mm. What do you want to get out of that story? Sometimes, of course, some things the writer cannot be replaced by a writer standing outside a flat listening to a noise.
Oh, plug your story again, plug, right? Always, yeah, HDB, yes.
So I have very strong feelings about this because I don't understand people who say that, no, this will never replace. It will. It will replace.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Mm. Cool. Any one of you else have tried the ChatGPT?
I tried a variant of it. I tried Jasper.ai. Okay. I've been using Jasper for a year already. It writes copy, it writes YouTube videos, it writes everything.
Ooh.
Yeah, emails, articles, everything. But you see, the thing is that AI is only smart. I always see AI as a very strong partner, but on its own, it's nothing because you still need to feed it things in order for it to churn. I love what Zed mentioned. Now, you see, he very cleverly distinct write and churn, you see. So, but we still need to direct. Well, if we don't direct, the AI will come out shit. So, if you give him shit, he produce shit for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel that the human part is still extremely important. At least Jasper was very helpful in the sense that it replaces anything that's analytical and repetitive. And it allows us to then focus on the creative, which is what angle, what direction, what trends. So it allows us to do the things that we humans are supposed to do. The more high-level thinking.
Yeah. Nice. And that's what companies should be paying us to do instead of asking us to sit there and churn.
And it's interesting because, like, I tried ChatGPT and I wasn't that impressed.
What was your prompt?
But I think it all boils down to the prompt.
We must talk about these prompts later.
Yeah, it's all about the prompt because I tried using it to write a stock research report.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just the stock research report problem. Like, you know, like that space is just...
So I think something interesting, like when ChatGPT first came out, okay, my investment friends and I, we were very excited. And we were like, wow, we can now use it to churn tons of stock research reports and we just read and, you know, filters the work for us. And then they changed it. So you know how ChatGPT kind of has a moral code, right? Which no one really knows about. Okay, so they cannot give you stock research report anymore, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, they're trying to, they don't want to give you stock recommendations. So they changed it, and halfway through, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks in, then you feed the prompt, it no longer gives you the stock research report. What I was disappointed with was the inaccuracy. And a few of my friends and I experimented with different stocks, right? We tried like really well-known stocks and really like ulu kind of stocks that nobody really knows, small cap ones. And what we found was that it is based on information that is already out there.
Of course.
So a lot of the information though is outdated.
Yeah.
So when you want something that is a stock research report, a lot of these things would have already changed like a couple of months down the road, like business plans and, you know, financials and the health of the company. Yeah. A lot of this is already changed. So because ChatGPT is taking inputs from what's out there, right? And hence, the report is very inaccurate.
And isn't that a good thing? Because it shows that what the AI can only aggregate whatever that's already there, which is why innovation and creation is something that's ours, because we are creating something out of nothing.
So how you should use that, right, is you take the stock research report, right, paste it to ChatGPT, right, and then say, come up with a 20-word summary. That's how you use it, lah. Because summarizing thing is so difficult. It's so difficult to summarize.
That's interesting.
Then you can say, write me a Facebook.
I'm going to do that.
Write me a Facebook caption.
Team. Yeah.
Then you can say, make it spicier. Which I did yesterday. I put
and
this.
And it understands spicy.
Yeah, I put a story in. Something about Chan Chun Sing's IPS speech, right? So I put a story in. Then I say, recommend me a title. Make it spicier. Then he made it spicier. Then I'm like, oh, no, this cannot.
Too spicy.
Too spicy already.
Too spicy.
Yeah. Gonna... Make it shorter. Make it longer. Include this word. Make it first person. That's how you use it. Yeah. I mean, to write a full report would be like a bit much lah, especially if you require research, right? But everything else beyond that is good lah.
Oh my goodness.
Like, recommend a title. Recommend 5 topics that I can write about when in reference to this story. Then they will say like, you can talk about this, you can talk about that,
great. So I can throw my transcript in and then get them to churn titles essentially.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
You know then what
from,
to do, huh?
Then from there, right, from there you can also say, can you recommend me 5 other topics I can talk about based on this transcript? Then you can churn things out.
Is it free? ChatGPT,
right? Currently
it's
free.
Now it's free.
Even if I have to pay for it, I think I will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like you say, it's overloaded, right? But it's still workable.
Because now when you go in, it will give you like a prompt that says like it is the servers are overloaded.
Okay.
That's
how
powerful
beautiful.
It is.
Wow, okay.
I love it. The TikTokers actually recommend how you can use it, which is so fascinating because that's what TikTok is about, right? But learning things, right? So they teach you. And then now, right, there are programs that have been written based off of ChatGPT. So ChatGPT actually published a piece, right, to say that these are the programs, these are the softwares that have come up from what we have done. So one of it is, which I found was very interesting, was how to check whether your article is from ChatGPT, whether it's written by ChatGPT.
Oh my god. That's how the teachers can use it.
Yeah, that's one. And then, but because I think that was, I think, the most interesting one for me, lah. You know, it is something that you know that people can get around it. So someone else wrote a program based on it, right? And then you're saying that this is great. Why not?
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I love that. Wow.
I was very amazed because when ChatGPT first came out, right, there was this piece that I saw whereby someone asked it to write an essay. And it's the kind that reminded me of my uni days when you had to write the, you know, very difficult, complex opinion kind of essays and substantiate with everything. And ChatGPT produced it. And then I was like, wow, then the uni students don't need to write already. Next time, just feed all the homework.
Which is the contention, no? Yeah, current contention. But now with that program, no problem.
But that's where we need to admit, right, that that's the reason why education needs to change.
Well said.
It cannot just be about reading or writing anymore.
Or summarizing.
Yeah. It has to have some sort of like original thought into it. If you're just asking uni kids to churn stories out, right, then they will not be able to... Like, is that really what you want education to be?
Which is why... The discussion.
Why the future work skills, if you guys Google, right, future work skill, there's a set of skills that everybody come together and said that these are skills that will help us elevate society. The top skill is actually critical thinking, followed by creativity and collaboration.
So that's the thing. Yeah. The essay that was fed into ChatGPT is about creativity. critical thinking.
So it was pretty amazing. Writing about critical thinking, right?
No, so it was asking about like, you know, this guy and like these two philosophical people, I guess. I can't remember the gist of it. And they were asking, what do they stand for? What's their you know, the for and against and
it's
all.
Like Jung
it's really
and Hegel
a whole weighing kind of critical thinking, evaluation kind of piece. And ChatGPT produced it. And it's like, wow. Normal students can't do, you know. My GP students may not even be able to write that.
But for clarity's sake, right, because it is taking data from the web, essentially.
So you're using other people's critical
thinking.
So it is only an aggregator,
it's an aggregator of the
limited information out there. It does not create new information. Right.
But that's the thing, right? So you see, if we look at the path to improvement and creativity and critical thinking, you have to build based on what others have first. Isn't that what literature and all is about?
Which is why if you look at a hierarchy, right, we all started with data and then internet came along and that's where information is. Now we are in the era of insights where these informations are being put together in a certain way that create new insights. But there's one thing that I feel is still the Confucianism and the human, which is wisdom. Wisdom is at the top of the pyramid.
An original thought. And I think ChatGPT is now going on higher on that level.
Yeah, so we better also keep
going. We need to faster keep up.
We need to rise up.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm very confident that I'm very wisdom. So I can. No problem. Okay.
You are so wisdom.
I'm so wisdom, right, really. Right? That's how I can do this, right? But yes, the sole parameter for today's show, okay, we went round to talk about ChatGPT. I think that's amazing. Right. But the parameter is, right, should you be afraid that you can potentially lose your job, right? That you're going to lose your job. Right?
Maybe we should talk about what jobs ChatGPT will eliminate.
Two factors, right? One is whether you should be afraid. The other one is, will you lose your job? Right? So let's dive a little bit deeper into the lose your job side of things, right? Like with this ChatGPT or like new AI or all these kind of new things, right? Like, will you lose your job? My position is yes.
There's a variance.
Depends on what job.
But, any job that is repetitive, any job that is analytical in nature, you're going to lose it.
I think the churn also will be gone.
Churners will lose their job. And people cannot just lean on like, oh, I can churn.
So what is an example?
Oh, customer service is also going to be removed. Giving service, which is like expecting 24-hour replies, all that's going to be removed. What will not be removed is experience.
I feel the customer service thing, right, is a very debatable view because we already had those Ask Jamie and all that long time ago. But yet,
I always ask Jamie,
have...
she always give me weird answers. I beta on her, right?
But AI,
take a break.
But it's
Jamie,
okay.
Just relax.
But they need to make those mistakes
because
AI gets better over time.
They learn over time.
So they're going to get good.
It's like the size of the customer service population. Right now used to be this, and then Ask Jamie and all those tools come along and now here. I think with ChatGPT it'll be even smaller, but they will still exist. It's more of those where you expect 24/7 replies. That's not gonna happen. AI
the managers
will you.
Stay because the managers will need to manage the bots. That's why I say manage, but you see, manager implies manage, which implies people skills or imply a certain original thinking, right? Which is why I think if you rise up, I think if you are doing anything that relates to people skills or human skills, you will still have a job. That's why moms will never be replaced because they actually did try to replace a mom
building
an AI bot. But now, till now, robots can recognize emotions, but they cannot emote. They cannot show empathy. So that's why I say moms will never be replaced because moms is about showing empathy and love and care. That's something that a robot cannot copy.
What other roles wouldn't be replaced? So I was struggling about the writer thing, but I really like how you put it, Zad. So the writers will not be replaced, but the churners will be lost. What about teachers?
Right now, right, in this world, right, teachers are already at a very, very precarious position.
They are, right? Yeah. Because you can learn a lot by yourself already.
Correct. And students need to be taught how to learn, right, instead of just sitting there and learning, right? And they are much... much more capable to learn new things on their own.
It's true.
You know
why teachers are out of a job? And you're absolutely right. Because I'm from the education business. I'm in the corporate training business. Trainers, speakers, teachers are going to be out of job. Because they are... basically, anyone who's a middleman is going to be out of job. Because teachers are agents of information. Trainers are agents of information. So if today I continue to just be an agent of information, passing you information, I'm going to lose my job because I get the information can be on YouTube, the information can be on TikTok. But you know what's the next level of learning? The next level of learning is implementation and customization. The problem is the fact is there are so many books out there that teach you how to be a billionaire with six-pack abs. But why is it that we don't see enough billionaire six-pack abs? Because it's not about information anymore. It's about the actions. And
it's
the
about helping people how to apply it successfully.
So teachers can help in accountability. Teachers can help in the coaching, which is to help them implement, because everybody has blind spots and internal barriers that prevent them from implementing the learning. So I think if we upgrade our teacher skills from teaching to coaching to accountabilities and sharing wisdom and experience, I don't think teachers will lose their jobs.
So maybe what the schools of the future will look like, instead of now whereby you go to class and the teachers teach you and yes. all, instead of having one teacher per class or one teacher per subject, maybe what we'll have is teachers who direct the learning experience. Mm. They just create, the student goes and choose what they want, and that's the syllabus or that's the path. You go there, and then there's other teachers who question. You can go and debate and, you know, be original in your thoughts. Like, no, like, we didn't descend from like chimpanzees or whatever, right? Yeah. And then you debate and you show your proof, and the AI can't really mark that, but the teacher will be the one guiding you towards it. Yeah. Maybe that's how things will change.
But that is so counter to how the government does things, right?
Like, which is why we need change.
Yeah. It's very hard for governments to catch up lah with AI. There is a worry there. I can see it. I can read it. So in the latest IPS, right, Chan Chun Sing talked about the future, the untidy world of work. Right? And it is a very untidy world. And the government's prescription for it, right, is prescriptive, you know, like do this, then do this, then do this, and you'll be ready. No, but that's not it, right? And I think where AI comes in, right, is that it puts all these people, right, makes people feel very jittery.
Yeah.
You know, about it, right? And people are talking about it, people are scared of it. But I think the embracing of it, right, is very important, and understanding what it can and cannot do, lah. If you are not the kind of person who's very critical, very like you think about things, you're not a thinker, right? Then straight away, of course, be like, oh no, this will never replace. No, lah, cannot, lah. That press release that you write, you comms person, that press release that you write, I just need to feed AI the information that you want to give me, right, and I can write a better press release using ChatGPT. And but then the question is that the best use of my time? Is writing a press release, right, the best use of my time, or is it collecting the stories that will inform the press release? So for me, certain jobs that are rote can be replaced by ChatGPT, and it should be replaced by ChatGPT because the human brain, right, has so much more potential, more capacity than it to just sit there, right, and like churn.
I just had a revelation from what you just talked about.
My God, I know, right?
You know, it's like
tell me
when we had the technology innovation, what first went away was the rote physical labor. But now what we're seeing with AI is the rote mental labor.
Yeah.
That's why there's more talk, right? A lot of people that crowd the talking space or the entertainment space or the edutainment space are all the people that do this. So when there's all these like, you know, laborers getting like phased out, right? That's not as much talk. It's always propagated as good, this good, this good. This good is a very privileged view, right? Yeah. Because they are talking heads, they are the thinkers, they are the whatever. And then to them, it's like, this is good, this is good, right? Objectively very good. It's like, what parameters?
But now it's in their field.
Exactly. So I ask you, what parameters are you measuring? Like, what is considered good? But now, exactly like what you say, right? It is like eating straight into you, right? It's like,
I think it's easy to comprehend. Oh, physical is good, man. We don't have to strain our bodies anymore. Now we, you know, last time humans always like that, right? Because of all the manual labor. That's why now we can sit upright. It's a change of technology. But recognizing that, oh, wow, the mental process has so many layers. It's harder to recognize that. That's why you only have two type of people when you talk about ChatGPT and AI, the delusional one. No lah, will never take away my job. I'm a writer. Then you're like, you're true, not a writer. And then the other one is like, oh yeah, I better improve my skills.
And that's a great thing.
Look at the value and how can I be original, because ChatGPT is not original.
Because the definition of value changes over time, right? Depending on what kind of tech we have, right? So I celebrate it. I think AI is going to put our pants on fire and going to force us to keep evolving and keep improving.
So you're not afraid at all?
Not at all. In fact, because of AI, that's why we keep evolving our businesses. So like I tell all our trainers, because we represent trainers and speakers, I tell them that if you're going to keep being an agent of information, it's not going to be us firing you, the market will fire you. Today what clients want,
that's
is no longer info.
That's why clients use me. They're queuing up. I'm an original. I create
endless
framework of thoughts, right? You know, they come to me, they're like, oh yeah, your ideas are very interesting, very refreshing.
Will you then call yourself a luminary of thought?
Yes.
Wow, you guys. Very good stroking of egos here.
It's the reality. So many, quite a handful of like all these like coaching or internal HR. Mm. They send me emails that I love what you're saying on the podcast. Can you come and talk to me? Then I ask them, what's your experience so far? I say, same old, always say the same thing. Mm. You know, like we've tried this agent, the expert, and so they all don't make sense. They all speak in the way that they speak. And then exactly, they're the middleman of information. Yeah. They have no insights. They don't break through further. They don't marry ideas.
Insights, ideas, wisdom. Just focus on these three things.
Thank you.
You'll never
That's
be
my
out of
middle
a job.
Name.
Yeah.
Very long, that is really.
You know, AI can also not replace his sheer confidence.
Yeah,
and I think that's something that AI can do.
I was telling you on IG, it's like, I'm important because I'm beautiful, right? You know, it's like, such confidence, right? Like, where does this thing come from, right? No objective view of the world.
I think what's so interesting, right, is that secretly, right, a lot of like great writers that I know, and I say like really good editors and great writers, anyway, they come to me personally and say like, Izzat, can you teach me how to use this? This is so impressive for me.
Yeah.
You know, they don't leave a comment on their LinkedIn, on my LinkedIn post, so they come to me directly. Yeah. Yeah, and they
the
ask
luminaries
me,
of the poetry world.
Yeah, if their curiosity is tickled, right, then it means that this is a force for good.
Yes.
The people
impact.
Who think that, oh, this is going to replace that, I think they are not thinking too much. They're not thinking so far ahead.
Okay.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, but somebody has to take a different view, right? I'm going to take the different view, right? So as much as on some level, I do agree with like, oh, there's new tools, right? Like, because you're the leader in the space, when there are new tools, you're intrigued by it because you're confident that you know.
Privilege.
Yeah, you're privileged. You know, you're good at it. You know what, you know, this is something for you, right? You have that ability. But to be clear, not everyone is like that, right? In fact, I would argue that this is a minority group, right?
Yes.
Right? It's a minority group that sees it this way, and that for the many people that, you know, it's not that they are inferior or they seek to be inferior, right? It's just within the parameters of what is available, they are just there.
Yeah.
You know, they don't stand out.
And I guess that's what the government is trying to solve.
Exactly,
How can we help this group of people who don't have that privilege to help
themselves? As much as we are excited about this, because probably we're all about luminaries in our own space, right? Thank you. You know, but let us not, you know, be some of those mainstream media talking heads when laborers were getting like forced out, right? And recognize the fear, and it is valid. It is valid to be afraid. It is valid, you know, to be concerned about these things, because yeah, it will definitely force you out of a job.
I think there's a lot of like emotional coaching to be done as well. Yeah. I have to say, I love Eric's confidence. I'm not afraid. I am afraid.
I am
a writer.
As much as I'm a luminary.
Deep down. Being not afraid, like, it's not because I'm delusional.
Oh, what's happening? What's going to happen?
Wait,
you know?
I need to clarify. Yes, me not being afraid is not because I'm delusional, but because
we never
already,
say delusional. Yeah, why are you projecting?
Because
I was
already afraid when I first saw it. And that's why I feel that. Yeah, I saw it and I knew that shit, I'm going to lose my job.
So you
and
came
so
up with ways
we,
to get rid of that fear.
Exactly, by making sure I keep evolving.
Okay, so I'm at the initial stage.
But it's okay. I mean,
me too. We are luminaries.
Because
right?
We haven't used Jasper AI,
yes, yes,
right?
But that's also because I'm paranoid, that's why. So I'm always worried that I'll be replaced. So that fear of being worried that I'll replace, I just want to be my own competitor and be my own enemy.
So how do you go about solving this situation? One level is you changing your business model to stay relevant. The other level is how do you manage your emotions through this process?
I think the emotions was the harder part. Mm. Because, you know, there's always this fear that you'll be not worthy and you're not important, right? Yeah. So, but I had to change my narrative because it wasn't serving me. That fear was just making me paranoid. And sometimes when you're fearful and you don't do anything, you become paralyzed, that's worse. And then you become delusional because you hope that it will not happen.
Hope is not a plan.
Yeah.
I must repeat
so,
this again and again.
So I remember what I did was I tell myself that, okay, I still got time. Right, because it's not a hot thing yet back then. So I was like, okay, let me see what I can do. And I started hanging out with a lot of futurists. Because in our world, we have a lot of people futurists. I love Jack Ma, by the way, because I feel that some people are really ahead of
their
time.
Why you, Jack Ma, you must look at me.
Oh, okay, I'm talking to you.
So, okay. No, because some yeah. people associate me with like China a lot.
Oh, really?
But anyway,
oh,
yes, I didn't know that. That's my...
Yeah, so I think that the fear part is something that we'll always have to battle with, which is very normal for us to be fearful. In fact, fear is not a bad thing because fear causes us to shake things up. But what do you do when you're fearful? That is more important.
Mm. Yeah. I actually think this could be a new job. You see, right now, we don't really have anyone who pays, or there's no work itself other than for the super privileged who pay for it, where someone helps you through your emotions.
Exactly.
But with AI coming in, you know, human, right, you basically are two types. One is you see obstacles and you overcome it. The other one is, I too difficult, I give up, I'm very scared. Then you cry and then, you know, you just go one corner and,
yeah.
right? So we need more people who are in this field of helping those people come out from
EQ.
Their corner.
So whatever you just said is, basically there's a name for it, it's called emotional intelligence. It's about managing your own emotion, managing other people's emotions, managing relationship with yourself and managing relationship with others. That four square forms EQ.
Correct.
Very, very
but
important.
There are not enough EQ coaches. I feel that could be a job for the future, especially with AI and all these things coming up where emotions become more and more important. Because only when you can manage your own self-emotions can you then succeed.
Agree, 100%.
But we're going to have a lot of people fall out from this if this job is not taken, if there is no one coming in to take up this role and this work, because, you know, you just let the tools manifest and appear and then you leave individuals to manage their own emotions where some people just can't and commit suicide, go one corner,
yeah,
cry.
Yeah, yeah.
And we need more to help these people out of their corner.
Yeah, and I think that is a facet, right? In the sense, a facet of a discussion where a lot of people will feel like, oh, you know, like you're going to lose your job. Yes, but this is a dynamic situation. New jobs are going to get created.
Exactly.
Right? So new jobs are going to get created. New things are going to happen. Are you at the position to then transit?
But we also need to recognize, I think, with these new jobs, right? Some people who need the help of these, let's say if we talk about this EQ coaching and emotional coaching, they may not be in a position to pay for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
No. The government is doing a lot of work.
Yeah, I thought the government must pay for it.
It's a lot. The government is putting a lot of money to actually help you guys. That you should check out your skills future. There's a whole set of skills. And in fact, now the government is making, because we are training providers, right? We cannot just anyhow teach skills, you know? We have to teach skills that tied to that list that I just shared with you.
And
just
why
now.
Isn't this sponsored by Skills Future?
Yeah,
can
yeah,
we get
yeah,
them
yeah,
on
yeah,
board?
Yeah, what are you waiting for? Look, right? Like, hey, great discussion. Better than all the one out there. Okay.
Yeah, so
the
government
is,
it's always a sad part is the government is finding programs and actually Chan Chun Seng, because Chan Chun Seng used to be with the NTUC. He does a lot of work there. So we work very closely with NTUC. So they actually even told us this, you know, we do not want you to teach long programs. Mm. We want fast programs. Programs can turn over very fast. Skills. Experience. So it's happening, but I tell you what's not happening is the number of people that claim the Skill Future credit is not a lot. Like, do you know you have money?
I know.
Have you used
Life
it?
SG. Yeah, I'm gonna do an episode about it. So yes.
Have you used it?
You didn't know
it.
Hey, you know it.
I used it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, not bad. Actually, not bad. Out of four of us, only 25% haven't used it.
Oh, whoa! So I'm part of the. Oh, you cornering me.
I'm just getting warm.
Okay, yeah. So a few things, right? I think if we really want to go into that discussion, I question the parameter of how things are being taught. Right? Like as much as you want to say like, oh yeah, you know, like so far you may have spent it, but do you really find the programs useful?
Oh.
Big question mark.
Yeah.
The reviews are horrible. You learn baking, right? You're not going to be a baker.
No, that's why that's level one.
Now,
if you look at Skills Future, now you don't
it's
see all those
horrible.
Things
horrible. They are not best in class.
We're not here to
discuss.
Yeah, but, go back to the topic.
Yeah, so exactly. And the idea is like so what if these things are developing, right? What I want to push is the idea that transition inherently is difficult. Right, and it's valid
is
to feel this
way. Is it a human problem or is it a structural problem?
I think it's a time
problem.
Also. Yeah. Because if you think about when the technological revolution came about, right? It took generations for the government to educate people. Because society started off as liberals. Now you have to train their mind. It took a whole generation and we are the product of that generation. Yeah. It's also going to take another generation to make that shift from churners to
which
now
is why we always talk about
it
that in today's world, right, it's no longer the big fish that eat the small fish, it's the fast fish that eats the slow fish.
No, that's
whoever
why
adapts the fastest will always win.
Yeah,
which is a mindset problem.
No, it's not a mindset problem, it's a skill set transfer. It is to pick up a new skill set. Inherently, it gets increasingly difficult as you age to change your skills.
No, that's bullshit. No, there's this thing called plasticity. There is bullshit. That's why you see, that's a mindset problem. That the fact that you have this mindset that says that, it takes time to transfer a skill, it's a problem. Because
you never feel like as you grow older, you learn things slower.
No, I'm in the learning world. I see this every single day. Mm. Seriously, really. Go and research.
I actually feel I learn faster. But I have to say, I'm still young. Maybe because I'm still young. I don't know whether when I'm 50, 60, whether I'll still learn as fast.
There will be. I don't know. I can give you examples.
We should invite someone who's 50s or 60 and then us, right? Because
In fact, you know what? Because how learning happens is the neurons create pathways. So when we stop learning, our neurons slow down and it creates less pathway. That's why learning is slow. So if you're continuously learning, then we're always going to pick up things fast. Which is why kids pick up things fast, because they're in that learning mode and we have an environment that allows them to learn from primary school to university. But somehow after university, learning stops. Yes. And that neurons, which is like muscle, stops.
Yeah, so I don't discount that. Yeah. And you know, but the idea here is many people for a prolonged period of time, they're not learning. This is the whole problem with churners, right? Essentially. Right?
So that is a problem.
It is not a mindset problem. It's a structural problem already.
So I ask you a lot, is there people problem?
So it is not a mindset problem, okay? I think it's very irresponsible to simply label it as a mindset problem, right? I recognize that there's a mindset shift that needs to happen and that could be a potential solution about it. But if 10 years, 20 years, you're doing the same thing repeatedly and you live a life and things are okay. And then now things change. You have to pick up new things in a short period of time. The pain is valid. The difficulty is there. Mm. You know, it may fail. And the government has failed many, many, it's not just our government, many governments have failed many, many times to transit the population. Mm. It is a big dream. Many governments throw big, just look at the data sets that come back and tell you, like, who has succeeded in converting their population. It's very, very difficult.
But how
it is
a big time?
Task. It is a difficult task. And I'm not saying that it's not something that you shouldn't try. I'm not saying that, you know, like, people should just wallow, you know, but there was a period of time, forklift driver was an advanced skill. Right, there was a period of time that, you know, lorry drivers were advanced skills, right? But many things happened thereafter, and then how many generations have failed to transit?
So it takes time and generations to change time, his ideas.
Yeah, but
as well.
Like how we say that everybody has to be responsible. So yes, the government needs to do whatever they need to do. That's their thing, right? But today we can't control the government, right? But you guys are listening to this episode. You have to be responsible for yourself. Mm-hmm. If every one of us become responsible for ourselves, for our future, then I think we can still move.
I think it's a natural phasing out.
Oh. What, the weak?
That's how you phase out people who are irrelevant to the community.
But we can't just phase out people as well.
No, but the government cannot ever say that.
Yeah,
right?
so they need to have people to help bring them back into the community.
So we can support them, but perhaps this is... If technology is moving faster, like for instance, right? If we all now know how to use PayNow, PayLah, very easy. It's so intuitive, but not for the older generations.
Yeah.
Right? Then what are we going to do with the older generation? We can teach them, but it means that we have to admit that is not going to happen, right? So we have to find a way to manage a situation.
That's why I feel also, right? Mm. That's one more element whereby it's about the EQ or mindset coaches to help them understand this is the new shift. Mm. Because what the solution has mostly been is I just teach you, I just give you the knowledge.
Or throw money. Throw money, right?
Tackle the mindset and approach towards it.
Mindset is very hard to tackle from outside in. It has to be inside out.
It is. But I feel you can have a coach to help you. Yeah. Then you have like maybe instead of 100 people and then 74 off, with a coach to bring you through that transition, maybe you can save another 40 out of it. Mm. 30 will still be the cannot save one lah, huh? Because their own self block already. But I think we can do a lot more in this way.
Okay. So let me elevate that discussion a little bit, right? So there's one fundamental assumption. All of you believe that you will be in the 70. Yeah, or all of you believe that you will be in the people that can successfully transit.
We'll be in the 30.
Yeah, you believe that you're in the 30. That is all the fundamental assumption here. Mm. But what if you fail? What if you fall in the 70%? Mm. And there is a chance.
I think then it's about what you do to get out of it.
Yeah. No. And I will argue that it's not about individual anymore. There needs to be a structural discussion of like how society can move forward, because change is getting harder and harder and harder. It's getting faster and faster and faster. right? And a lot of people in their day-to-day, I mean, sometimes people ask me, hey, why you have so many thoughts, so knowledgeable? I will plug myself again, right?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Yeah, my show, my rules, right? I can plug, right? So why you're like that? Because I don't work a full-time job that requires me to grind the same thing again and again, so I can keep improving. But the reality is you work a full-time job and I understand that. And I give you validity in that. Right, and I don't expect you to keep learning. That means you have maybe stopped learning for like 3 years, 5 years, you know?
And I actually see that happening, you know?
Yeah.
Like people not wanting to learn or not being able to learn. And it's very easy to see. Look at the number of people who are 30 years and above or 35 years and above, right? Not knowing how to use TikTok.
Yeah.
That's it. That is a natural, like you ask people, right? You can just look at the state of TikTok in Singapore today, right, with the news media, right? You can see how they use it, right? And you know that there is somebody there who doesn't understand it. And that's how you can see it manifest, right? And then they're like, no, it's okay, TikTok is not my thing. I don't want to install. I'll just watch your TikTok on Facebook Reels. Someone just said that to me yesterday.
Huh?
Because I share my TikTok videos on my Instagram.
You can do that. Yeah.
And then my Instagram is real to my Facebook Reel. So I tell her, why don't you just watch my videos on TikTok? I don't have TikTok, never mind. I just watch on your Facebook Reel. Facebook Reel, eh? Why are you still on Facebook Reel? People have moved on from it, right? But they are so stubborn. They're like, no, I don't want. And this lady is like 32 years old. So I'm already seeing it happening already. So it is a very high possibility that that people of our generation, right, might be in that 30%.
We may end up in the 70% that fail to transit. Okay, yeah. Whatever is 30-70.
And what you're saying is that it's in spite of personal desire to change and proactiveness to change.
Yes, because my challenge to all this personal and proactiveness is a fundamental abstraction from structural realities. Okay? Most people have all these ideas that, oh, you should do this, you know, and I don't discount that. I think those are good ideas. Why we propagate. I mean, that's why you tune in every week, right? You're not just laying around. You want to improve, you want to grow, you are doing all these things. I think is great, right? But when you extract yourself, it's the whole idea like meritocracy also, right? Meritocracy fundamentally wants you to extract yourself from the reality of where you start. It wants you to forget your starting point, right? So if you forget your structural realities or where you are playing, in what game you are playing, then it may be exceptionally suffocating for you, right? And that is a valid point also. So as much as I agree that the individual, you know, like the fear is valid, all these changes, things are getting fast, us as individuals, we try to do what we can to keep up with it, right? And take out all these things, right? We cannot discount the structures in place, and we cannot discount our need and abilities to influence the structures in place.
How do you foresee that a human can influence the structure?
Why you cannot protest? Why you cannot write to MP?
Protest.
Why you cannot write to MP? When was the last time you wrote to the MP?
I think.
If more organized communities can send letters, endless letters to the MP, why can't you?
I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, let's say someone has the mindset to want to change and keep up and improve, but they fall into that 70 despite having that because they are grinding. They are the churners. They are grinding and they don't have the time. Maybe the lady you spoke of, it's not that she doesn't want to learn TikTok. Yeah. She just doesn't have the time. So she uses Facebook Reel because it's comfortable.
Yes.
She already knows. She doesn't have, maybe because after she comes back from work, she needs to take care of her elderly parents and teach her young kids and help them with the homework. So she literally has no time for herself, much less to speak of self-improvement. At the most, she only has 1 hour to watch trashy shows. And that's it. So she, unfortunately, will continue to fall behind as much as she wants to. Then what can we do?
And that's not a structural problem, but
there is a structural problem. There is a lack of unemployment benefit. Yes. You know, there's not enough transitionary support.
It's a fact.
You know,
that if she goes out,
she's
of
the
work.
One that chose to spend her 1 hour watching.
No, everyone needs to de-stress. Cannot say like that.
Okay, my sense is this. Okay, I see it from a very macro point of view because it's based on a book that I read. It's called The Power to Change Anything. It's a way to influence organizational changes. So it says that for a person to change, two things need to happen: willingness and ability, right? But the willingness and ability can be at three levels: personal level, peer level, and environment level. So there are six levers that you can press to create a big change in whatever that you want. So what you have just talked about is just two boxes. There are four other boxes I can still impact a person.
But in this case, it's the environment. What? If she gets out of her traditional job, then she loses, let's say, her childcare subsidies.
Yeah.
If she goes for another job, but then her skill set is not widely accepted anywhere else and she's good at what she does, where she's paid decently, she may not be able to get out of it.
So, okay, then let's say if this is a real person, right?
I'm sure there are real people like that.
I want to put myself as a role of a coach.
Yeah.
That, okay, number one is that there are things she can't change, right? Which is the environment. Like you said, she needs to take care of her kids. She needs to do whatever she needs to do. So first thing, I'll find out how much time she has to be able to make that change.
So what if it's really that 1 hour?
No, then I will use that 1 hour because the whole idea is movement is everything.
Okay, so what if that 1 hour that she now spends on trashy shows or entertainment or whatever she does to de-stress and manage herself, right? Yeah. You now use it for self-improvement, which adds more stress to her. Now she has no space to relax and...
No, not self-improvement. That means first thing first, we need to understand because you're saying that she's in a job that potentially in future will be replaced, right?
Let's say she's head of customer service.
Yeah. So let's say she...
I think she will survive life. She's the head. Yeah. But anyway, yes.
Step number one is I'll do a strength assessment on her first. I'll do a strength assessment to find out what she's talented in, what she's good at doing, and then map it to future jobs that will actually use those skills. So she might not even need to improve herself because she might already have those skills.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So that would be the easiest way because as a coach, we work with what they have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in this case, that goes back to what's missing, right? We don't have these coaches right now. We only have throwing money and throwing knowledge.
So income, NTUC income, actually. They have more and more coaches that you can actually reach out and say that, hey,
Career transition, all that, there are all these services happening. Yes, yes.
But it's whether they want to go
but
out
people
there.
People are not using
it. Yeah, that's why I say maybe it's awareness. Like, I feel like, I mean, we got to give credit where the credit is due. I think the government is putting effort. Whether it's effective, that's another thing to judge. But the effort is there, but the visibility might not be there.
Yeah.
So maybe they need to do a better
job. That's why they need to work with influencers.
I think the structural change that you're talking about also comes with education, right? With knowledge, right? With telling the population that, you know, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
You need to go and figure it out, right? And we're going to help you figure it out. Maybe that element is not there. And this is something that is very close to my heart because we have written so many stories of elderly people, right? Being left out of the technological era, right? And they're getting their... And there's real repercussions for them in the sense that they don't have... Their money get cheated, lah.
Yeah.
So there are real impact to it, right? So what are... So what is the government or what are non-profits doing, right, to reach out to these people? That, for me, is structural support. How can I make my mom, right, understand that, you know, you can use your phone to pay for the bus. You don't have to carry an EZ-Link card around. But for her, she's always like, you know, it's okay. Just in case, save. But if the government is so successful in telling the elderly that, like, you need to go and do your vaccines, right? Nothing is impossible. I feel like nothing is impossible. So
I think that's why it comes down to the peer element. Why did the vaccine succeed? Because there were so many peers. You had all the celebrities and everybody telling you go and take your vaccine, but you don't have all these influencers or celebrities saying, hey, you should go and see a emotional coach or a therapist because it's not popular, it's stigmatized.
But then, also structural support, like what Raji said, right, also exists in the sense that if you want the elderly to take, for instance, to use wireless payments, right? Everybody must provide wireless payment. Cannot some provide, some don't provide. Cannot, must everybody.
But it will take time to get there, lah.
And in a country that is so well regulated like Singapore, right, I find it so hard to believe that some places, like I know the hawker center near my house, right, for some reason, right, it's new, it's by Kim Lee, so if you are watching this, do something about this. It's Serangoon North Avenue 1. Y'all took over the whole food court or coffee shop, and then you never put wireless payment. None. You know, so that's what I mean. I think that in terms of structural support, right, that is what is missing. So if you tie it back to the learning aspect, right, then we have to figure out like how can a bigger structural support help people better their life skills or even make them realize, right, that you know what, we need to better ourselves.
No, and what you just said is excellent because it actually talks about the ability, because creating tools so that we can tap, right, is under environment, under ability. Mm. And then government, if they throw incentive, like if you use those cards, I'll give you a 10% discount. Mm. Or what, that is willingness. But even the government, no matter how powerful they are, can only influence 2 out of 6 of the levers. We and our environment, our peers, still need to come and help.
No, yeah, government can pay some peers, ma.
Yeah. You guys all have your own agenda.
but of course, that also comes from a place of privilege, right? Like, it's an echo chamber.
It is.
You know, we all know, we like here, we can say like, yes, we need to be,
and
do
this.
And
that's what I don't want. Yeah. I don't want this show to become like that. So correct. I'm pushing some of
these
ideas.
And we have to acknowledge
that
there are some people who just will not have that kind of support. Like, what are we doing to help them?
Yeah.
And if we don't help them, we always say like,
you're not keeping up with the times.
Then that's a little bit difficult for me to accept also la.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is we have a lot of listeners listening to us, right? So if every one of the listeners who listen to us reach out to their network, I think we can do a lot.
Yeah. And reach out with kindness lah, huh? Don't reach out
with this like luminary.
We spoke about that one of the episode, right? It's always with kindness and don't judge, right? Give people space.
Yeah, don't come from a place of like it's very highfalutin. Mm-hmm. No, you always come from this place of like you're better than everyone else, and I don't think that's useful to any conversation regardless.
Yes,
so that's
yes.
what we have to say about ChatGPT.
Yeah.
wow, it came a full circle. But
lovely.
It's the tip of the iceberg.
Lovely. Yeah. Oh my God, I love the discussion. Yeah, right? In closing, is there one thing you want to share for people that are still kind of on the fence and afraid of the future?
I think it's human nature to be afraid because it's a survival mechanism. So don't make it wrong that you feel afraid. What's more important is what you do about that fear. I think that's more important.
I'll share a quote I live by. Change is always constant. Mm. There's nothing you can do about it. But what you can control is how you feel and react to that change. Mm.
Fear of change, that's the question.
No, what's your
for
closing thought?
Yeah, what some something thought for
on
for people that are kind
of topic, not
like afraid, of like afraid of the change. Like.
You're not alone, oh.
You're not alone in this fear.
Don't worry lah. There will be other people like you. Just need to find communities, right, and form support groups that will help each other lah. There are so many people who are so embarrassed to say that they don't know how to use TikTok.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to use TikTok, let me know. Just drop me a DM and I'll tell you how to use it because I love
teaching
people how to do this, you know.
Nice.
And if you just have to embrace that technology, lor. So you might not know, but if you don't know and you need to use it, like, just hire someone who knows. So that's where I come in. Like that. Yeah. So that's my ending.
Great
ending.
I will argue that everything I would argue against is on your own. Like you can only focus on yourself. You can only control yourself. This is a narrative that has been deeply built and entrenched into the local psyche, right? There are some things that are easier on your own because you have direct control, right? Mm. You know, and there are some things that require you to form communities and put pressure, right? So you need to come together. You need to organize, and you need to let people know, let the leaders of the day know that hey, I want this, and it does not mean you need to like protest and smash shit, you know. But it's just more like, hey, this one cannot, right? And the collective strength is extremely underrepresented in most of the talk out there.
Mm.
It's always about what you can do, right? What you can do, like, oh, you can only do this, you can only do all these things, right? It's all only within you. The reality is, yes, these are the easy things because you can control immediately. But organize, arrange, you know, come together as a collective. There is a lot of power in numbers. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, lovely.
Thank you for your thoughts.
Thank you.
Hey,
now go back to work, please.
Yeah.